across the dimensions through the elements and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropism, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedom and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored.
Good morning, folks. This is Maggie Rose and my co-host, Sammy Mendoza.
Hello, I am here.
Again, folks, this is Maggie Rose and my co-host, Sammy Mendoza. Sammy is hailing us from Yuba City, California. Today's date is February 28th, 2022, and the time is a little after 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, 9:03 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We had a little bit of difficulty trying to get into Studio A, Sammy. I don't know what it was, but either someone didn't drop on the other end or it wasn't willing to pick up. I don't know what the challenge was, but we are here now, and there is a lot that's going on this last week and a lot that I think is going to happen in the next couple of days, and we're here to talk about all that. Also, for those of you out there that have been contacting me by email, again, I have to state that we're just going to have to agree to disagree on some things, and but I do appreciate your emails. And one of the things is, again, I've said that, you know, I know there's others throughout radio land and through the broadcasting world that want to put all the blame on one culture, one religion, or another. And I won't go there, and I won't put up with that. And I think, Sammy, you understand me on that, right? I have zero tolerance to intolerance.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am. Sammy has Latino background. I have a lot of people in my family that are from, that were born and raised in the Philippines and Korea. I have a sister-in-law from Mexico who happens to have been raised in a village. She was raised Jewish. I have probably, four generations back on my father's side. My great-great-great-grandparents came over, one from Germany, one from France, and they were Ashkenazi Jewish. I have people in my family going all the way back to the Revolutionary War that fought in the Revolutionary War, were privates in the Virginia Militia. My great-grandfather co-founded Jamestown Colony. I have great-grandparents from the Civil War that were in the Masonic Order, and they were not evil. They were not satanic, and I am leaving tomorrow and will be getting a hotel in the city in San Francisco because a very good friend of mine, Akram, who was originally born in Iran, lived in Iran, and when she had to leave Iran, she was literally wrapped up in a rug, Sammy, and was transported, I think, over the border into Turkey. She had a daughter that had been taken from her in Iran, and when she came to the United States, she got remarried and had a wonderful son, and he called me the other day, Sammy, and told me that after her open-heart surgery, I had just spoken to her, Sammy, on the phone. She had left California and moved to Texas, bought a house in Texas. She's been there less than a year. She was setting down roots in Texas where she had family. And she had open heart surgery. And after her surgery, I got to speak to her briefly for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then he called me the other day and told me that after she was transported from the hospital to the rehab, that she ended up developing an embolism and passing. So we're going down to San Francisco to get a hotel. And Wednesday, we're going to be picking up her son and daughter and a couple of the relatives and taking them back to the son's apartment. So, you know, it's very difficult for me because I had not seen her probably in a good 4, 5, maybe 6 years. And her family, some of her family is Muslim. And I have always been very respectful of the fact that some of her family was Muslim and that there's certain traditions that they have, like they don't believe in cremation. They believe only in burial. And, some of the people are really, really good. You have different factions, Sammy, of both Orthodox, Islamic, and you have, those that are Reformed. I mean, there's like 4 different categories and not all of them agree with what supposedly we are reading in the Quran. So, again, I'm telling people that what we need to do is, especially today, especially with the climate of what's going on, Sammy, here in the United States and over in the Ukraine, that we need to try to pray for each other, our brothers and sisters, that much more and realize that we are all still bound by that common thread, that spirit. One of my girlfriends who lives not too far from me and another friend who lives up in Oregon, they have family in the Ukraine. They have one of them has a mother in the Ukraine, and I'm getting firsthand reports of what is going on there, and my heart's breaking. And I think this, where everybody's trying to blame this and blame that, and, you know, we don't need that. What we need now is more unity instead of division. I'm going to let you take it from there, Sammy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I think that right now we do need a lot of unity. But, you know, unfortunately, the situation in Ukraine, it's happening in real time. And, you know, right now there's nothing that we could really do. But I think it is important also to mention and realize that, you know, I believe that it's important to have a open mind. One of the things that I've been kind of starting to go back to is that I think it's important to kind of trust God's plan right now. I do believe that there's a lot of bad things that have been going on within the boundaries of the Ukraine. And, you know, I don't want to glorify Putin or anything like that. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of very strange interactions and congruencies that are starting to occur right now. I don't know if a lot of people follow astrology or understand astrology in any way, but more and more it's becoming obvious that the use of astrology is very profound within the ranks of elites and world planning. Like something that I actually called this and talked about it quite a while ago. I think it was right around July of last year, where I was mentioning that, you know, the United States is about to undergo something called a Pluto return. And the Pluto return means, you know, that's when Pluto is in the same position that it was at its birth. So in 1776, Pluto was at a certain position in the sky in relation to the United States of America. And Pluto usually takes 248 years to complete an orbit around the sun. So if you add 248 years to 1776, that gives you 2024. And the approach of Pluto going back to where it was in 1776 started on February 22nd, 2022. And that is exactly when Russia started, acknowledging, you know, the rebel groups right inside of Ukraine. And then immediately after that, they started to do the invasion. So I believe that everything is linked here because Pluto is considered the planet of upheaval. It is the transformation and, the collapse of old systems of government. It is the transformation of business, how we conduct business. It is the transformation of culture. And you know, I think that everything that is happening for a reason. I don't believe that it is just all out, rampant aggression. And I think it's important for us to like really take a look at all sides and really understand what's going on here because, you know, the day that everything started going down, I just think the timetable is very strange, right? We see all the COVID mandates, we see all these regulations, we see everything just all of a sudden fall through the floor. And then all of a sudden we have this escalation of, you know, the chance of war. And now all that we are hearing about in the news is Russia, Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine. It's like COVID is now in the back burner, right? And that's exactly what is meant to happen. COVID is meant to be in the back burner right now and kind of be in the back of people's minds. So that way we're more focused on something else, right? And something that I'm starting to notice is that it seems like there is so much coordination between, you know, the UN countries in the EU, Canada, the United States. And I was watching a lot of these press briefings from Justin Trudeau and Boris Johnson, and they all seem pretty set on what they would like to do here in this theater. And they're just waiting on the blessing of the United States of America. And to tell you the truth, I believe that there is going to be something pretty big that happens tomorrow at the State of the Union. Cause you know, I was thinking about this last night. Last night I was thinking about also once again, you know, I was just using the days and understanding what the months are named after and why they are named after that. So if you look at March 1st, which is tomorrow, this is going to be the first time in history, in United States history, that there is a State of the Union address given on March 1st. And one of the things that people need to understand is that, you know, right now we have a president that I believe is 100% illegitimate. I do not believe that he should have any power or weapons. I think that he's a senile old man that should not have the nuclear football for any reason. He is obviously not truly in control. There is other entities that are in control of him, and I do not believe that he should have the nuclear football, but I think that tomorrow is a very important day. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at the origin of the day of Tuesday, Tuesday is a day that is set aside and devoted to Mars, the Roman god of Mars, which is the god of war. Also, if you look at the month of March, March is named after, again, once again, a Roman god deity, which is Mars, but in Roman they said Maritus, which is named after Mars, the god of war. So the month of March and the day Tuesday are both devoted to the god of war, Mars. And I don't think that that's a strange, weird coincidence that, you know, March 1st is going to be the day that Joe Biden gives the State of the Union address, while we're seeing all this conflict around the world. And then something that I would also like to note, another observation, is that the day after the State of the Union address on March 1st, we will be experiencing a new moon in North America, which is, you know, it is said that dark black magic is its strongest during the new moon, right? So I think it is a pretty interesting observation. This is just something that I have seen, and what I've understood. I don't want to say that, you know, that's what I think is going to happen, but, you know, I know that these people, you know, the Kabbalists, I know that they use these methods, and, it kind of gives it away as to what they're trying to do and signals, and they do it very ritualistically, to give an indicator and make it, you know, sort of like a ceremony. And, you know, just the other day I was watching, I think it was, on the 24th, I was watching a press briefing by Jen Psaki, and Jen was watching, was wearing all black. She was wearing a black turtleneck, a black blazer, black pants. It was as if she was going into a funeral. So this is very, very, very interesting. And I think that they're indicators that we must pay attention to, because, you know, if the cabal uses astrology, we have to understand astrology and understand the power of it and not be negligent of those facts. Back to you, Maggie.
I totally agree with you that, and it's very sad that what is happening right now, that a lot of people don't see that. Some people are calling what's happening over in the Ukraine a false flag. And there's people on Revolution Radio whose names I won't mention who are rooting for Putin, which to me is heartbreaking, because those of us like you and myself who've lived in the military, who have understood what freedom really, really means and the cost of freedom, and knowing that many times you and I and others like myself were sent into military situations which were false flags and we were used. To understand that Putin, his purpose isn't just, as people are saying, oh, he wants to prevent the Ukraine from becoming part of the NATO, because he doesn't want NATO to be that close on his borders. No, he truly wants to bring all these former Russian states back into Mother Russia. And you're right. If there's certain things about astrology that I don't understand, and I have issue with, but at the same time, there's things that I completely get. And I also believe when people say, well, and, you know, Maggie, you have to believe that this is coming out of the Bible and this has all been prophesied and foretold. Don't you believe that even though something might be in the Bible that God is warning us that this and that could happen? Doesn't man have the ability? Do you think that we would have the ability to turn some of this around?
You know, the way that it works is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that, you know, maybe we may try to turn something around, but in reality, our very actions of trying to turn it around will fulfill the prophecy. And, you know, that's just the way that it works. You know, one thing that I will say, though, is like there's a lot of interpretations that you may get from the Bible that are from men, that are from human beings. So to say that it can't be exactly, I guess, changed, it definitely can be. Things can definitely be changed, and things can be interpreted differently. It just really depends on what interpretation you're looking at. But, you know, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Maggie, about the issue in Ukraine and Russia. You know, I'm not I strongly believe that Ukraine has a whole lot of problems. I think that the Ukraine is a hub for human trafficking. I believe that the ties that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden getting $70,000 off of energy in the Ukraine is not a coincidence. I think that it's actually outlining the level of corruption and connection that the Ukraine has had with the Joe Biden administration and further, you know, including, you know, the Clintons. And I think that this is actually a very important event, and it's going to take us looking at it from a different perspective to try and understand it, you know, because, you know, I don't support China. I think China is actually a very is a huge threat to the United States. But I do see that the actions that are occurring right now in that area are actually highlighting a lot of issues that have been unaddressed. Because, you know, one of the things that I will say is that, you know, people are saying, oh, well, how can you just invade a sovereign nation, right? How can you just invade a sovereign nation? Why does Russia think that they can just do that? Well, from my perspective is that the Russia never really thought of them as a sovereign nation. They've always been Russia. They were always part of the Soviet Union in the past. So in their mind, they're just reclaiming their land that was taken away from them. You know, I'm not saying that all the anguish that's going on right now with a lot of people suffering is okay, but there's also been a lot of evil things that have been going on within their borders. And I truly believe that they're trying to neutralize that, because if you look at Zelensky or you look at the previous, president, they're known for being corrupt. Zelensky is just an actor. He's a comedian. He has been put into place by the EU cabalists. I mean, we're going to really have to take a deep look and reflection as to what we're talking about, because, you know, I don't view a lot of the countries in the EU as being good people, right? Like if we're really taking a look at how history has gone down, if we look at Justin Trudeau, right? I don't support Justin Trudeau. I think Justin Trudeau is, you know, complete trash. He's a tyrant, and he does not deserve any power at all whatsoever, and deserves to be stripped of all power completely, and he should be a social spectacle of a fall from grace, and he should not be in any position of power ever again. And then if you look at Boris Johnson, you know, Boris Johnson, same thing. But, you know, one of the things that when I watch these people speak about the issue that's going on in the Ukraine, they're hungry for war. They want conflict. They want conflict. And I don't truly believe that they're really open for any sort of negotiation. And to tell you the truth, I feel like a lot of this violence that is occurring is happening because of the massive, the more you oppose, the more violence there will be. And that's, you know, I strongly believe that Vladimir Putin is very, he's a master chess player. He knows his game. He knows his tools. He's a huge strategist. And, you know, the way that it's kind of, coming down from my observation is, I don't want to hurt you, but I will if I have to, you know? Cause I mean, if you look at the demands that Putin has, it's that he wants to demilitarize and he will stop anyone that gets in the way, because he just does not want the UN to be on his border. He does not want any sort of, entry for the cabal, you know? And I think that we have conflated in the United States cabal with communism. I think they're two separate entities, and, you know, at times they may work together and at times they will oppose each other. Because I believe that, you know, China and Russia right now are working on the communist grand plan. They're working together in tandem. But I do believe that, you know, even though I think that Putin has his own directives, he has his own mission. And one of the things that I've heard is that he has really found faith in the past 20 years and became an Orthodox Christian. Like right now, he believes that he's on a mission from God to deliver this and to liberate the Ukrainians, which I've seen from firsthand accounts, people saying that they are happy to be liberated from the Ukrainian rule, especially because I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, after World War II, a lot of Nazis ended up being inside of Ukraine, and they were oppressing a lot of the Jewish population within the Ukraine. And I remember I was watching this live interview of this guy that's out there, you know, live streaming and telling the news and getting firsthand accounts that isn't really biased. He's just, you know, out there doing it. I forget his YouTube channel. But he was talking to this lady that said that she is relieved because she has been getting, oppressed by these Nazi people inside of the Ukraine where she lives. And she feels happy and liberated now that, you know, the Soviet Union is coming back for her, essentially, you know. So I think that it's important to that we really take a look at the situation, and we don't, because I don't trust the media at all for one second. And the fact that the entire media, all of them, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all of them, every single one of them is pushing this in a certain direction, it makes me want to go in the other one. That's just my perspective, because they're all pushing the exact same narrative, and this narrative has been pushed for decades, right? Like when we look at our own country, who were the past few presidents that were in office? We're talking Obama, we're talking George W. Bush Jr., we're talking the Clintons, then George Bush Sr. I'm sorry, whether you're Democrat or Republican, I don't like any of those people, not a single one of them. And I consider them to be cabal presidents. I mean, there's too many things that have happened in that time period between George Bush Sr. and now that, you know, really makes you question, okay, well, who are these people? Why did they do the things that they did overseas? And, you know, maybe they have been telling us this grand scheming lie that has brainwashed the American population to hate certain people and not question it, right? That's just how I feel. And that's one of the things that I haven't – like it's really a time to take some time, self-reflect, understand the facts, put things together, understand economics of the situation, understand the strategy of the situation, really not make some choppy or hurried decisions on what may be happening.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Like I said, there's, you know, people used to say there's one side, another side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. Well, there could actually be four different sides, and each of them could be maybe slightly accurate, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think what I'm trying to say is that there's much more at play here, and I think that we need to take a deep breath, step back, and just realize that maybe things are not what they seem, because, like I said, their most powerful tool of all is the mass media. And right now, like I said, the mass media is all in conjunction, swerving in one direction, and that makes me want to go in the other direction, not listen to any of those buffoons, because I truly believe that right now we are exposing just how much a war machine the mass media and this country have been. Because you know what? You know what gets more ratings than anything? War. War gets more ratings than anything. You know what makes more money than anything? War. War makes tons of money. And if we like think about the whole thing that happened with 9/11 and the Middle East, right? You know, it just makes too much sense to say that there was interest in going into that region, and there needed to be a reason to go into that region. You know, just yesterday I was watching this short on YouTube of this veteran soldier that went to a speaking event by George W. Bush Jr. And he stood up and he started yelling, saying that you lied. You sent us over there into the Middle East for a lie that there was weapons of mass destruction there. And that was a lie, that there wasn't weapons of mass destruction. My friends died. You killed them. And I 100% agree with that man. The only reason why that man, George W. Bush Jr., wanted to go over into that region was because of the oil interests. You know, and then if you look at his vice president, Dick Cheney, which I believe had more power than George W. Bush Jr., you know, he owns Halliburton. He's a defense contractor, and his company got a lot of the contracts to build bases out over there overseas. You know, it's just a self-fulfilling profit scheme. You know, you create a catastrophe. You get all the contracts. You have your own interests over there, and you go handle business. And then you put lives at stake here in the from the United States. You know, you send the good boys and girls of the United States to go do and serve your bidding when they shouldn't be doing that. You know, our military should not be used for self-interest. We should be using our military to defend our country. We should be using our military to defend what we have, our principles here at home, right? And I do agree also that we should be serving our allies, but it should be for the utmost best reasons. It shouldn't be for self-interest. It shouldn't be for profit interest. It should not be for anything like that. And, you know, that's why right now I'm really taking a deep look at understanding, you know, especially people that have grown up in the past, you know, 100 years. How were we taught? What was the information that we were given? What is the education that we were given? What if a lot of the education that we have received has been a lie? Maybe it's been manufactured in order for us to believe a certain narrative. What if we have been blindfolded for so long in this country that so many people are unable to decipher the truth because they don't know how to discern it? You know, so many people in this country, they don't even have faith. They don't believe in God. So how will they have the guidance to see the truth? They won't, because they don't have that belief and they don't have the faith. So at this moment in time, one of the things that I have begun to say again is trust the plan. And I'm not even saying that it's Donald Trump's plan, because I don't believe that it's Donald Trump's plan. I think that it's God's plan. It is God's plan, and that plan, we have to trust the plan, and we have to have faith, and we need to take a step back, and we need to relax and realize that there are certain things in this world that we can never control, and there are some things that we cannot change, and there are certain things that will have to happen. They will have to happen. You know, just like with this whole coronavirus thing, with people dying from the vaccines and people passing away from the coronavirus itself. You know, I think that we need to stop wallowing in anguish, and we need to realize that things are going to happen regardless of what we do. And sometimes the harder that we try, the more that it pushes others away. And, you know, at this point in time, you know, with the whole vaccine thing is, I don't think that they should be targeting children, but anyone else that decides that they still want to walk that path, then that is natural selection. That is absolutely natural selection, and you are just removing yourself from the gene pool. Because at this point, I think that there is so much information available about everything that went on with that, that you cannot say that you were forced to do anything, because, you know, the all of a sudden the vaccine mandate passports are gone. All of a sudden all the mandates are just disappearing on purpose. And this is exactly what I believe they had planned. They were putting so much tension in the wooden board until they knew it was about to snap. So they removed it, and then they went on to the next page. And then that's exactly what is happening right now in our world, right? It's like no one's really thinking about COVID as much anymore. It's all about the conflict. It's all about how the United States will respond. It's all about that. We've turned a page onto the next stage. And like I said, trust the plan, but we do have to be active. We do have to be active, and we have to start trying to spread the truth and spread the calm, because I think that right now what's happening is that a lot of people can probably fall into a manic state of, oh my God, the world is going to end. This is the apocalypse. And you know what? I agree, but I kind of have a separate perspective. It is the apocalypse. It is the end. But I don't believe that we will end in a utter catastrophe. Right. I don't believe
you. I agree with you on that. I don't think that this is going to be the end of humankind.
No.
But people need to awaken. I mean, and you're right. The fact, and this is what I was saying to my husband the other day, is the fact that what's going on now with this whole thing with Ukraine, I do believe that the cabal is involved with this, but I also believe that Putin, took that jab, and they were making a comment last night, Sammy, that his personality has changed. He is more volatile than he's ever been before. He's more angry. He makes more rash decisions. He's not listening to his advisors. When they looked at him, his face is all puffy. He doesn't look like a well man. And I can attest for a fact that at least two relatives in my family have taken the jab, and almost overnight, their personalities changed. They were irritable. They were snappy. They were calling other family members' names. They were not calm and clear and level-headed like they normally would be. They're not reasonable. They're not willing to discuss things. They explode. I mean, at the drop of a dime, they're emotionally, mentally, psychologically exploding like an atom bomb all over other family members. And we noticed that when they went and got the second jab, it got even worse. So I'm thinking that maybe the reason he's not looking like he's in good health is not just because of all the stress he's undergoing. I think that if he is one for fact that took at least one, if not more than one jab, that it is affecting what those jabs are affecting the brainstem. They're affecting people's mentality. You know that the chemicals in these jabs, whether it's Moderna, whether it's Pfizer, whether it's J&J, but especially the Pfizer and the Moderna, it crosses over the blood-brain barrier. How can it not be affecting? Normally, when you and I have an inoculation, it stays in the deltoid of our arm. And as a nurse, you know, I'm sitting there looking at them giving this jab to Justin Trudeau, and she's sitting like 2 feet from him, and she's, you know, not even touching his deltoid with her left hand or pulling up the skin like she's supposed to, and she's throwing the needle into his arm like a dart. And I'm wondering if it was one of those retractable needles, if he even really got the jab, you know? You don't give a shot or an inoculation to someone sitting 2 feet away from them and then pointing it like you're about ready to zero in on a dartboard. That's not how you give an inoculation. So I'm wondering if Putin is having this all of a sudden mental instability because he did take one or more jabs. And I also believe that the people like Hal Burton, you know, people like Cheney and the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas, they want a war. They agree with Bill Gates that they want depopulation in the next 8 years of 80 to 90% of the world's people. I believe that they thought that if they could start something now, it could take our attention not only off of COVID, but off of what's going on in Australia and Canada, especially in Canada with the convoy. And now we have all these trucks coming from different parts of the country, and they're all going to zero in on Washington, D.C. to be there for the State of the Union address tomorrow. I think this is all planned. They're trying to get our attention off of the truck convoys, off of Canada, off of what's happening in Australia, and they're trying to get our attention on something else that's also money-making for them. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, one of the things that, you know, I've been watching interviews with, well, not interviews, but I've been watching like recorded video of Putin speaking to a lot of his, like I was watching a video the other day of him speaking to his spy chief. And, you know, I don't really see that he's really unreasonable. I'm not sure where you're getting your reports from, and I can't really speak on it too much. I don't like to speculate very much. I don't even know if he would have gotten the vaccine, to tell you the truth. But you know, he seems pretty level-headed to me. He seems like he is just, he knows what he's doing. He knows what is planned. He knows what he has to do, and he's not going to let anyone stand in his way. And if people try to oppose him, it's because they don't understand the plan and they don't understand what's going down. Because, you know, one of the things that I really think about is what happened in that meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin during Trump's presidency, where they had no cameras, no media at all whatsoever. What happened in that meeting? Right? It really gets me thinking, what happened in that meeting? What did they talk about? No one will ever know. No one will ever know what those two men talked about. And you can't tell me that it wasn't significant as to what is unfolding right now. You can't tell me that. There has to be some sort of significance, because this whole thing seems way too much like a chess game. If you understand the chess game, you understand that certain things are happening that are forcing a move or exposing a move or showing something for what it is. And that's what I've been seeing, is that although we may look at the Russians as being aggressive in some sort of way and causing an unnecessary event, I believe that this event is actually showing everyone how corrupt these people are. How much they love war and how much they want a continued they want to force the issue to guide us and lead us into a massive world war, right? That's what it seems like to me. And that's why I keep saying, you know, I'm just really taking kind of the middle ground on this. I don't want
to
take any.
That's what we need to do, Sammy. We need to take a middle ground. Unfortunately, there's people, you know, around the country and also in Radio Land that are putting all the blame on the Ukraine. And they want to blame Zelensky for everything. And, you know, and yeah, so he used to be a comedian, but that doesn't mean that he can't be serious. I mean, I think it takes a rather courageous, brave leader to say, look, in other countries, when people were being invaded, the presidents of those countries got up and they left the country. You know, we saw that happen with the Shah of Iran. The United States was involving, I think, getting him out. But here Zelensky is standing his ground. I saw a woman the other day. She's part of the parliament. She's standing her ground. She's not leaving like so many other people are leaving the country and fleeing to Poland and elsewhere. The woman who was in 2015, maybe it was, she was Miss International for the Ukraine. She's taking up arms and she's standing her ground. We have a lot of innocent people in the Ukraine. And just because we don't like one individual or another individual doesn't mean that we should basically throw the entire country to four sheets to the wind. It's really easy for those of you out there listening to this show to sit there and say what you would do or what you think should be happening and put all the blame on Zelensky or put all the blame on the entire Ukrainian government. Just like we have good people in our government here in the U.S., we have some bad apples too. But you're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's absolutely stupidity. And the thing is, we already know what Putin's done in the past. He has a track record that goes way back further than anybody else who might be corrupt either here in the U.S. or in the Ukraine. I mean, he lied with the situation with Syria, Sammy. He lied with the situation with Afghanistan. Every time this man has turned around, he's lied. You know, he may have so-called converted, you know, over to being some kind of a Christian Orthodox. But I look in his eyes and I see his actions and he belies everything that he says that he's going to do. He hasn't done, and everything he said I'm not going to do, he has done. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, you can take the man out of the KGB department, but you can't take the KGB out of his blood. And I think this man is a monster. And there may be certain aspects of where I agree with him regarding what's going on with Russia. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I disagree with him. This is not the way to handle it. This is not the way to handle it. This is, to me, a crazy man who's even letting the words nuclear, even the suggestion that he'd be willing to use nuclear on Western Europe, the suggestion that he'd be willing to use nuclear in the United States and against us, that's a crazy man. You don't put that on the table as a blackmail or a threat.
Yeah, you know, he knows how to play his cards. And he knows that the people in the United Nations, he knows that the United States president, you know, unfortunately Joe Biden, he knows that he's not going to play the bluff. He's too much of a coward. And I don't think that any of those people have any of the courage to play the bluff or actually play cards with him. And that's the thing about, you know, Vladimir Putin is that he is a master strategist. He's a master card player. And that's the thing. I think we need to also start to pay attention to the fact that Vladimir Putin highly respected Donald Trump. Highly respected Donald Trump because Donald Trump knows how to play the game and he's not a coward. You know, he knew how to play his cards and he knew when Putin was bluffing and he knew how to handle Putin, right? Like, that's why Donald Trump was such a good person in foreign relations is because he did not play stupid little games. He was straight up to business. But, you know, the thing that I see right now is that, you know, Vladimir is playing everyone like a fiddle because it's easy. He's played with these people for so long that he knows exactly how they play the game. And he knows exactly what he needs to do to get a response out of these people. Now, like I said, I don't want to be like, oh, I love Vladimir Putin because, and you know, to tell you the truth, I think it's also kind of, irresponsible to say that Russia is actually a communist country. I don't believe that they are anywhere near communist. They are an oligarchy that is, they are a capitalist oligarchy, and they are not really communist. And I think that we've kind of had that mentality drilled into us that they are truly a communist country. I don't believe that at all for a minute. The only reason why they can sustain themselves as an economy and grow more powerful is because they are a capitalist oligarchy. Pure communism doesn't truly exist anymore, not even in China, really. Although China, I believe, is more of a fascist regime. But I don't know. It's very difficult situation, and I don't like to take sides at all whatsoever or point any fingers until I have a little bit more observational evidence. Because right. as far as I can tell, I think that everything that is happening right now is definitely happening for a reason, and I think it's actually turning out to be pretty resourceful for a lot of people to kind of open your eyes, like take a look at what's going on and be like, trust the plan. Because I know, I also know that a lot of Ukrainian troops were celebrating. I saw a video of this. Were celebrating with the Russian troops.
So, oh, I saw them dancing. Yeah, but I'm wondering how much of that, Sammy, is actually more propaganda. I mean, what they were doing, because the thing is an example, my friend Valentina, she lives up in Central Oregon, up north of us, and she was born in Russia, and when she was very young, she was taken to Ukraine, and she was raised in Ukraine, and she was also exposed during Chernobyl. Her younger son, she was pregnant with him when that happened, and he ended up being born with hearing impairments. And so she was telling me the story that she said that a lot of the people wanted to get away from the direct influence of Mother Russia. So they went to Poland. They went to Ukraine. So you need to look at it this way, that many of these people in the Ukraine feel that they are the cousins of the Russian people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all have a shared history, a shared culture that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. So when you see, you know, a bunch of vehicles on one side of the road, and it's the ground is covered with snow, and you see a bunch of vehicles on the opposite side of the road. So one side is the Ukrainian, the other side is the Russian, and they're out there in the middle of the field dancing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a ceasefire for a moment there, and they were like, you know what? You know, we are each other's brothers. And so you're right. I mean, I truly believe that many of the Russian soldiers, many of them conscripted, I understand, at age 16, 17, 18, and 19 from Mother Russia, have come down into the Ukraine, and they don't want to be there. They don't believe that this is for anything but the cabal making more money. This is not for anything but Putin wanting to take back the Ukraine, not to keep the Ukraine from going into NATO or being a member of NATO. And he doesn't want NATO on his shores. He's just saying that. His ultimate goal, I truly believe, is to bring the Ukraine back into his arms and force them to his will. And then he will go after Poland next. So there is a portion of where I believe the conservative media is accurate in saying, if he can get away with this, he can get away with going further and further and further and always keep blackmailing us with the nuclear threat on the table. What do you say to that, Sammy?
I don't think that he has reason to continue to move on further. I don't think that it would be efficient for him to do that. And I think that he knows that. I think that this is a very specific mission to fulfill something that he believes that he wants to right a wrong. And if you look at his demands that he sent to the UN, he wants the NATO map of, I believe, the 1970s to be reconfigured as it was. And that does include, you know, reclaiming the Ukraine and some of those Eastern European countries. But I don't think that he would go after Poland. I don't think that he would continue to stretch into Europe. I don't think that that would make any sense for him. Because although he may dangle that carrot of, oh, I'm going to drop a nuke on you, once you start stretching a little bit to the west, you know, they got their own nukes. They have their own arsenals. It wouldn't make any sense for him to continue doing that. And, you know, it's also an idea of self-preservation. You have to look at it as that also, because if you look at it as, oh, if he continues to move west and he keeps threatening the use of a nuclear weapon, well, at a certain point, the threat of a retaliatory nuclear weapon will emerge. And then that puts him and his country in danger as well. Right. So I do believe that Vladimir right now is playing with fire. 100%. 100%. But until we can actually understand what the man is doing, you know, right now it's really easy to get a biased spin-off as to what he may be thinking or what he may be doing or what the plan may be, right? But in reality, until we were to actually address the man and see what is actually, I mean, I think he made it pretty clear with his demands. He made it very clear with his demands that what he wants to do and what he's going to do. And I don't think it's fair to really speculate that he would do any further than that, because I think that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. And it's pretty clear that that's not going to sit very well with the United Nations, because it's, you know, it's reclaiming some territory that he considers to have always been part of the Soviet Union, to have always been Russia, right? Like, the Ukraine has only existed for like 30 years. Before that, it was Russia.
Right, right. Well, I have something that was just sent to me by Rumble, by a friend of mine who happens to do radio on Rumble. And it's interesting. This is another guy's perspective of what's going on. Let's hear what he has to say, Sammy. Okay. See if we can get him even here. Oh, well, this is crazy. Now it doesn't. Here we go. See if we can do it again. Because he's presenting exactly another viewpoint about what he believes is happening. It's called Wake Up Now. I don't know if it's going to even work. It looks like they're trying to block it. Now, that's kind of not surprising, right? Have you been finding that's been happening with you too? I think you've been deplatformed a few times.
Yeah.
What's going on? Here we go. Facebook, how are you doing this morning? I'm doing good. Listen, I just wanted to get on here and chat with you for a few minutes, because as I'm scrolling through Facebook, even this morning, all I'm seeing is pray for Ukraine, pray for Ukraine, pray against Russia, pray against Russia, pray for Ukraine. And all we're seeing in the media is Russian invasion, Russian invasion. Putin has now, you know, is making moves against the Ukraine. Putin this, Putin that, Putin this, Putin that. And haven't we been here before? What I want to say to you, the people that are watching, is that there's a bigger picture than Russia invading Ukraine, which, by the way, the people on the ground floor of the Ukraine, not what the media is showing, but the people that are on TikTok that live in the Ukraine that actually can either speak English or it's being translated, are saying a different picture. They're telling a different picture than what the media is portraying. So the media is portraying Russian troops flying overhead in the Ukraine, bombing stuff in the Ukraine. They are not. In fact, the Associated Press got caught this morning using photos from when Palestine was attacking Israel and blowing up Israel. The photograph of the explosion that all of the media is carrying and has yet to take down is not from the Ukraine. So, why are we trying to push a war with Ukraine against Russia and then we trying to be an ally against the big bear of Russia? It's very, very simple. And I'm going to explain it to you simply before I run into the store, get my protein.
Okay, so let's stop there. What do you say about that, Sammy? We have known in the past where CNN and some other ABC News, NBC News, MSNBC have used footage taken from other wars to try to influence the American populace into something going on that isn't going on. What do you say about that?
I agree. I agree 100% with that. I 100% agree.
But I do, I'm also, Valentina just sent me a video that was sent to her by her family in Ukraine, and it's showing that a small missile type landed in the sidewalk right there in one of the townships. And here it is, a live video. It was taken, I guess, within the last 2 hours. And there's a lady there with blood rolling down the sidewalk from underneath her leg. She's alive, but she's not doing very well. And supposedly where this little missile-type thing came from was from the air. So, you know, we have to believe the Russians truly are entering into the city of Kyiv, and they are bombing the hell out of people there. From what I
know.
I'm getting, and the TikTok, remember, TikTok is owned by the Communist Chinese Party. So whenever anybody uses TikTok as the authoritative, accurate, whatever, remember, TikTok is invented, run, and controlled by the Communist Chinese Party.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, something that I will say that I believe that if there are any military strikes happening, that, you know, I've also been watching, you know, to talk about what this guy on the video was saying, is that I've been watching videos on YouTube that are from not the media. They're from people in the Ukraine that are showing video and showing what's going on over there. You know, so I think that they're far more accurate than any mass media sources. And I think to say that nothing is going on there is absolute crap. I think that that is ridiculous, and that is very ignorant to say that nothing is going on there, because I think that's incorrect. I think there is definitely something going on there. But what I think is that I think that Putin is being strategic, and I think that he's taking out key targets, and I don't think that he's targeting just any neighborhood or anything like that. I think that they're taking out key targets that are going to cripple the Ukraine into submission. That's what I believe. That's what any strategist or high level commander in chief of any military would do, right? It's all about being efficient. It's not about being sloppy. And I think that this guy saying that, oh, it's all fake, that there's absolutely nothing going on, I think that's really ignorant, because I've been watching videos on YouTube that are from YouTubers in Ukraine that are showing dogfights over the city. You know, like, they're actually dogfighting. These jets are actually dogfighting with each other. It's not a fake thing, right? And it's not just one video or one source. You see it from multiple sources. You know, you see different types of aircraft going at each other, and it's a real thing. So I think to say that nothing is happening is really ignorant.
Right. We're going to be going to a station break here, folks, in just a moment. You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com at Studio A with my co-host Sammy Mendoza and myself, Maggie Rose. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We now return to the Concord Show with your host, Maggie Rose, only at Revolution Radio.
Welcome back, folks, to Revolution Radio here at freedomslips.com. I also want to thank those of you that are listening to us at www.talkstreamlive.com. The Concord Show is brought to you every Monday here with myself and my co-host Sammy Mendoza in Studio A from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern on Mondays, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and in Studio B on Wednesday evenings with Bronco, we call him the Bucking Bronco, in Studio B from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Eastern, and also from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, again in Studio B. I'm hoping this Wednesday, because I will be in San Francisco, and I'm not sure at this point in time when the airplane is flying in and if I'm going to be able to be anywhere near where I can be doing the show. So I will have probably Sammy Mendoza here and Bronco be doing Wednesday's show in Studio B. So please, you folks, you tune in, listen, contribute there in the chat room. I know Bronco sometimes goes in there, not very often, because it can get very distracting. I think, Sammy, do you have the ability to get into the chat room? Have you registered in there yet?
Yes, I have.
Good, good. So, yeah, I go in there from time to time, but we were having some problems recently where I was kept getting bounced out of there. So, but it can be very distracting, especially if you've got trolls in there attacking you instead of just making their opinions known. One thing I do want to say that, Pat is in there agreeing with you that a lot of this is strategy. There's a lot of strategy going on here. And yes, I do agree with you, Sammy, that I believe the cabal is very involved in this. And I do believe that Putin does not want to be involved or allowed the cabal to control him any more than President Trump did. But I also believe at the same time that there's a lot of evil that's in the immediate influence of Putin. Not only evil coming at him, but him dishing out his own version of evil. This man is a control freak. This man is somebody that wants to manipulate things. And I truly, truly believe in my heart that if he could, he would get Hungary, he would get Poland, the Ukraine, he'd get them all back into his arms again, and he'd be in control of all the Baltic states. And I say that because of some of the experiences I had. I spent a very, 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 very brief time in Germany, and during the weekend that I was not on duty, that many of us were told, as soldiers were told, we could have the weekend off. I actually went with the budget dependent wives to, on a bus, and we went to what used to be called Czechoslovakia. It's now called Slovakia. And the wall had just recently come down within the last couple of years. And if you saw the poverty that the Communist Party of Russia had left countries like Czechoslovakia, the poverty, the suffering, the fear in people's eyes, because most of them had been raised with nothing but this communist mentality coming out of Russia. And now they were trying to find their feet again. Now they were trying to figure out, okay, where do we go from here? So here on Revolution Radio, we have many different people, as you know, Sammy, with different viewpoints and ways of looking at things. And what I'm just hoping is that they understand that there's no right answer all the time. Revolution Radio is purely listener supported. We count on people's generous donations to help support our airwaves here on Revolution Radio. And we are very, very grateful to those people that reach out and send whatever they can, whether it's $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever. We're very grateful for that. But we also need to understand that a lot of what you're seeing in the footage, as Sammy said, and as this other man said, a lot of it could be propaganda. But I do believe that somebody made a comment in there, I think it was Pat Rabbit, about all these empty tanks. Well, what had happened is, I guess in some cases, some of these vehicles that were Russian vehicles were attacked, some of them blown up, some of them not blown up. And the ones that weren't blown up, some of these Russian soldiers surrendered to the Ukrainian army. I saw some footage of them actually surrendering. They surrendered to the Ukrainian army. Some of them put down their arms and they walked away, especially the 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old Russian boys that had been conscripted and forced to go fight and cross the border into the Ukraine. So, you know, yeah, they keep showing the same helmet lying there on the ground. They're doing that for visual effect. But I do believe many of the vehicles you see where the back doors are open and you see, you know, trash and equipment and stuff spread all over the street, the roadway. I think, Sammy, is that is where some of those Russians actually either surrendered or picked up and they left. And I believe that's happening too. I believe but for the most part, I am very proud of the Ukrainian people that all ages, including elderly men and women, are saying that, you know, we're going to grab a knife. We're going to grab whatever we can. And that there is literally fighting in the streets. I'm getting reports from my friends over in the Ukraine telling me there is hand-to-hand combat going on in the streets right now. You can't argue with that. I don't know if that's being reported on mainstream media, but I'm getting reports from my Ukrainian friends in the Ukraine. There is hand-to-hand combat going on. Nobody can argue with that. You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, that's what I think is really crazy about that video that you played, is because I think that dude that made the video is kind of ignorant. You know, he was kind of making it seem like, oh, it's all fake, it doesn't matter. And he was talking about how great he's doing and how he's going to go get a protein shake after he's done making his video, which I think is absolutely 100% ignorant, which is kind of crazy because on the video he put wake up, right? To me, it's like, hey, man, you got to wake up because this is not a joke. This is not a game. This is real. This is actually happening. Right. And I think that is exactly the mentality that they want many of us to have. It's you're either ignorant or you're following the narrative.
Exactly. I have somebody who is in who's sending me. He happens to have my personal cell phone number, and he just now wrote to me He said, hugs, my friend. He said, I've been made aware of the situation, what's going on, especially in the chat room. He says, I complain about the cursing that's going on Revolution Radio at all the time. He said, the quality of the shows and many of the shows is becoming more poor. Okay. But I do not listen to most of them, only five or six shows. Yours is one of them. And that's because we don't allow cursing on my show. I don't care if I do it during the day or I do it at night when there's children in bed. I don't believe that we need to lower ourselves to the point where we're using the F word and the cursing.
And you know what that is? The need to curse to express yourself is just because you're unable to express yourself using better words. And I think all that does is speak to the intellect of the people that are presenting. If you need to project curse words to express yourself, then you're just showing how much of a little person's intellect you have. Because, you know, intellectual conversation never necessitates any sort of dirty words or any sort of filth like that. That's just extremely unprofessional and not necessary.
Right. And he said the quality of so many of the shows is getting poor here on Revolution Radio. He said, I do not listen to most, only five or six shows. It's not the RR it was 8 years back. The old time listeners are popping in and complaining, as do chatters. No provisions are being made here on Revolution Radio for when the plug is pulled on Skype. He says, I'm in bed right now listening to you. You and Sammy are producing a good show.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. But you know what I think it will come down to is that, you know, I think that we shouldn't have the ability to pull the plug on a show. I think what would need to happen is just that listeners need to stop listening. And that's just the way that it works. Cause you know, as much as filthy as it is for people to use language that, you know, is not, intelligent. We do have the freedom of speech in this country. And you know, us saying that we would pull the plug, I think it would be equivalent to censorship.
I think what he's saying is, no, I think what he's saying, he's not talking about Revolution Radio pulling the plug. He's talking about the cabal. When they try to crash all the news media, like right now they're censoring us on Facebook and other places like Twitter. I mean, I won't go to Twitter. Mr. Rowe, I think I saw something briefly when I was in there where he said, well, Maggie, go to Twitter. I'm not going to go to Twitter. I'm not going to go to Instagram. I'm not going to go to Google. I'm not going to go to TikTok. I'm not going to go to Facebook because it's all censoring. And I think what he's saying is when the shit hits the fan and they try to take down all of our media so we can't talk to each other, we can't do radio like we're doing, he believes the cabal will take down the Skype and that Revolution Radio hasn't made any other provisions for us to continue to broadcast. Like in the days when I first started doing radio, Sammy, 26 years ago, thereabouts, I was with Republic Radio International. Now, I was in Concord, California. They were in Battle Creek, Michigan. We were using different mediums to broadcast. One of them was shortwave, which is extremely expensive. I don't know why it should be, but it is. We were using shortwave and we were using TV satellite dish, which is pretty much if you have a big, large, in those days, a TV satellite dish in your backyard, you got all this free radio and TV streaming from around the world. Now, you don't see people with TV satellite dishes much anymore. And as far as shortwave, I don't even know if it even exists anymore. I haven't been staying up on top of the technology. But I think what he's basically saying is that Revolution Radio needs to find some other ways that if the Skype is crashed on us or it's taken away from us, that we have another way to reach out to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that then. From that perspective, absolutely, 100%. Because, you know, I think that will be a concern moving forward. Because right now, you know, what we're experiencing is a massive information war. It's really hard for us to trust any footage. Like, cause you know, I gotta tell you, this is gonna be raw what I believe in my perspective based on what I've seen. So I was watching a CNN interview, right? And there was this reporter, this anchor, very serious guy, and he was looking for information on what's going on inside of Ukraine. And he was doing this live interview with this female. She looked like a college-aged female. And yeah, I believe she was a college female. And she was speaking to the anchor at CNN. And, you know, to tell you the truth, this girl that they were talking to reminds me of some of the brainwashed college students here in San Francisco or in Sacramento. And to me, it seems like they are those brainwashed kids that have been put through a educational system that got them to think a certain way. And now they're spewing these manufactured biases into the collective consciousness. And the CNN reporter is using that in order to spin a narrative. That is what I've seen from my perspective. And that's why I think it's really hard these days to get good information, because with the use of cyber warfare, the use of crisis actors, the use of social media to spin and turn a certain narrative, it's very, very hard to decipher what's actually going on. And, you know, one of the things that I've done in order to find the truest and best information is that I don't listen to anyone's real bias. What I need to see is either live video of what's going on, and I don't need a biased opinion. You know, just give me your account, show me what's going on, and then I can decipher it for myself. And that's one of the things that I've been having to do to separate myself from the fake news. Because there's so much of it these days. Like how you were saying that there are videos being used from old wars that aren't even in the Ukraine in order to spin a narrative of, oh my God, look at all this carnage. Look at all this crazy stuff that's going on. You know, I believe that that is a fact. There's a lot of fake stuff going on right now, and it's really hard to find the truth.
Right, I agree. Now, let me see. I've got something here. Okay, here we go. This is very good. This is having to do with the UK right now. And this came over on Friday.
Picked up a gun from the local police station, and he plans to go fight the Russians tomorrow. And you have the president, Volodymyr Zelensky, saying, you have the mayor, images of him today holding an automatic weapon, preparing to fight off this invading force into their city and into their country. It's a significant story of...
Okay, here we go. Sorry about that.
Picked up. Oh, you guys pledged to decrease production this year. They want $8 gas. So this is the problem. It all comes back to energy. And bad decisions made over the last year have put us in this situation. And God bless the Ukrainian people. I mean, the character and the courage they are showing. And I think, frankly, Sean, it's a reflection of their leader, President Zelensky. I have not met President Zelensky, but during the impeachment, the first impeachment 3 years ago, you felt like you got to know him as we study what this, about the phone call and everything else. And you could tell this was a different leader. This was a guy of courage. This guy was committed to
making sure
he did the best for his country. He's a good man. God bless him and the people of that great country.
How many times have we seen in the course of our lives a country under attack and the leader fills a plane with, you know, gold and money and whatever they can take with them and runs away, and he's staying right in the middle of Kyiv, and he's the number one target of Putin and Russia. Dan Hoffman, let me ask you perhaps a question that seems from left field. Observers of Putin, and you've been in the intel business now for over 30 years, but people that I know that have studied him the entire time he's been in power tell me something looks way off. Something looks different. Something has changed. He doesn't even look the same. There was a tweet sent out by Senator Marco Rubio tonight suggesting that others have made that observation. You have studied this man for decades. Do you see that something is different?
Well, I'm sure that's a question that President Biden is asking his intelligence community right now. Look, there's no question that Vladimir Putin has changed his risk calculus. I mean, he's seeking to decapitate the government of Ukraine probably as early as this evening. And that is extraordinarily risky. Russia has 200,000 troops, but just a percentage of those are infantry, which would be required to subdue a country of 40 million people. He doesn't have that. He's looking at a costly guerrilla war, which is going to spill an inordinate amount of blood and treasure. Now, listen, on the sanctions, nice to have, But right now, that's kind of a sideshow for Ukraine. What they needed were the weapons that we failed to deliver to them when Russia had 70,000 troops on the border back in April. They had Patriot, if they had Patriot missiles and Harpoon anti-ship missiles and Javelins and Stingers, and they'd be in much better shape. And now it's just too late to get them the equipment they need. My heart breaks for all these brave Ukrainian citizens who are fighting for their country's independence, but they're not going to win, and it's going to be a lot worse over the coming days and weeks. I fear the darkest days are ahead of us, Sean.
Jim Jordan, is there any possibility that you and the House can convince, you know, the five Democrats that you would need to join with Republicans and lift the restrictions on exploration and drilling of energy in this country in the House? Is there any way Republicans in the Senate, I gotta believe they can convince Joe Manchin to join them,
yeah,
and lift these restrictions? That would be good for our national security, our economy. It would be good fight against inflation. It would also help our allies abroad. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. It's what should happen. It's good common sense policy. But I got to be honest with you, I don't think the votes there in the House, other than Joe Manchin, I don't know who would come along with that and support domestic, increasing domestic oil and gas production. I mean, we went in 1 year's time from being energy independent to the debacle that we've seen with this administration on energy and, frankly, every other policy. So I don't see that happening. I wish it would, because it's the right thing. It's common sense. But this, you know, Sean, think about this. Dan just talked about weapons and what we need to get to the Ukrainians. It would have been nice if that $85 billion of weapons and equipment we left in Afghanistan, if that was in some of that was in Ukraine right now to help the Ukrainian people. That'd be nice. It'd be nice if the State Department would be focused on real diplomacy versus, you know, when they've sent out the email that said, oh, what pronoun do you want to use? And, oh, we're going to have gender-neutral passports now, for goodness sake. So that's the problem. Bad decisions early on have put us in this terrible position, and the Ukrainian people feel it as we speak.
Fred, let's start with you. Will this money serve its purpose, or is it too little, too late?
It's good to be here. I think it's probably too little, too late, and I don't think sanctions at this point is going to get Putin out of Ukraine, but Russia has to be made an international pariah. We have to make it hard for Russians to send their children abroad. We have to block Russian airlines. We have to block Russia from taking part in international sporting events. And we have to get every nation on earth to call on the Russian ambassador to weigh in with Russian officials. Make this as uncomfortable as possible, because we have to deal with the reality that Russia has a lot of military force. It could still throw at Ukraine. We have to stop that.
Blaine, I think many, many Americans have been watching the courage of the Ukrainian leadership, the Ukrainian people, not rolling over for Vladimir Putin and Russian forces. Is there something more the United States can be doing right now to help them in this fight?
Yes, what I'd like to see here at home is that we strongly reconsider our energy policy in this country. You know, we import 600,000 barrels a day of Russian oil. We need to go back to being an energy producer to the world, because when oil is this high and we're not producing oil using our natural leverage, we get outcomes like this. And we...
Okay, Sammy, take it from there.
Well, I mean, where do I start? You know, it's I think it's 100% clear that we do need to become energy independent. Once again, I was actually talking about this last night. If we were, you know, 1 year ago energy independent and we were able to create a surplus within our country, what is stopping us from doing it again? And, you know, what is stopping us is this administration. They are fools. But then I try to take a look and see maybe there's an ulterior motive to making gas so expensive. You know, I was watching, I wasn't watching, but I heard of Donald Trump making his speech at CPAC saying that they're estimating that gas prices will get up to $10 a gallon, right? And that's absolutely insane. But then I started thinking, you know, for us to assume that this isn't part of this administration's plan or a part of the cabal's plan, you know, I know that one of the major pushes right now is they want everyone to get onto electricity. They want everyone to get onto electric vehicles. Especially here in California, you know, what's really crazy if we talk about the 2030 agenda, here in California, they want all vehicles in California to be electric vehicles by 2030. Right? So how do you force a population to get away from gas-powered vehicles? Well, you make it immensely expensive to use petrol. You make it immensely expensive because at that point, it's like, I don't even want to drive my gas-powered vehicle. I can't even drive my gas-powered vehicle. And then the alternative will be, oh, well, instead you can go ahead and purchase a electric-powered vehicle. Right? So that's one of the things that I've been thinking about. And I see it as like, maybe this is actually planned to be this way. They want to price people out of using petroleum. And I think it's absolutely insane because, you know, it's going to cause a lot of people to suffer. And it's really forcing people into a situation that they don't want to be in, right? A lot of people need to get to work. A lot of people need to do things on the daily. And, I'm estimating that this summer we'll get up to like $6 a gallon. If we continue on this trajectory, by this summer we'll be at like $6 a gallon in California. And that's insane. I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime. You know, I grew up in the 90s. And I remember seeing, gas prices were like 99 cents a gallon. And I remember for like last year before Joe Biden took office, we were at a good $2.50 for a majority of, you know, Donald Trump's term. And that was because we had control of our energy. And, you know, I think honestly, this is gonna, for us to make Russia a complete pariah, to just completely ostracize them, I honestly believe that that might backfire on us, because we're going to force them to evolve. We're going to force them, like, these sanctions, they're not working on Russia for a very major reason. That's because Russia anticipated the sanctions. They anticipated the sanctions. They knew they were going to come and they were preparing for those sanctions. And one of the things that I, you know, a lot of people like to bring up, oh, well, you know, the ruble has dropped 10% since this time last year, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I think that we need to start taking more attention into realizing that I think that Russia is heavily involved in cryptocurrency. And I believe that they have been preparing themselves and their assets for this moment in time. They're not stupid. They're very intelligent and highly strategic. We are playing with one of the best chess players on the planet. So I think that, like, you know, one of the things that they want to do to Russia is that they want to remove them from the SWIFT payment system. And, you know, I think that that is an interesting move because I think that having Russia in the SWIFT payment system gives us a matter of control, right? But if we were to completely cut them off from the SWIFT system, we're going to lose any possible control over Russia. And I think it's just going to force them to evolve. I think that they will go on to a different type of payment system that they will make sure that they develop and create. And it's going to make everyone pick a side because Russia will still have their business partners. There are people that rely on – there are countries that rely on Russia, their resources, and their finances. So to say that all of a sudden cutting them off completely is going to solve this problem, I don't think that that's the fact. That's definitely not the truth. And I personally believe that if we completely cut them off, it's going to backfire on us because I think that they are prepared to live in a severed fashion. And I think that they have prepared their foreign affairs and their relations with other countries to prepare for this moment. And I think that it's something that is inevitable. I think that if we do cut them off, we're going to lose a lot of control over Russia because having them in an integrated system, it gives us the ability to have control over them in some way, shape, or form. And to tell you the truth, I think that maybe Putin wants to get rejected from the SWIFT system. It's going to cause a little bit of turmoil, and it's primarily the people that it's going to hurt. You know, the SWIFT system being cut off is going to be majorly the people in Russia. But it's going to be a transitional period, so I'm very interested to see what happens with that, because I think it is an interesting solution that they're trying to offer as far as removing them from a global payment system, but I do think that something will have to happen and evolve because, you know, Russia is pretty deeply embedded in affairs with China, and China, you know, is not responding to support any sanctions by the United Nations or the United States. They are working in tandem with Russia, and I know that Russia has massive pipelines going into China. So I think that they have solidified and fortified their relationship together, because they are planning the takeover of the world, right? They are planning the takeover of the world. They are preparing themselves for the United States to be dethroned from the highest seat on the planet. And have you ever heard of the Deagle Report, Maggie?
Yes, I have. I have, and I've definitely heard the Deagle Report. I've been following. There's so many different things. It's like, you know, we have so many different irons in the fire, and we've got so much information coming. Sometimes we're on informational overload. I'm not one of those persons that, you know, sits in my house and neither are you, and just basically live on our computer. And we appreciate people that compile information, because we can there go to different sources and pick and choose what resonates with us. But I think the Deagle Report is something that people should be following, don't you?
100%. And the reason why I say that is because – so you've also heard of the Georgia Guidestones, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have also heard of the Georgia Guidestones. And if you haven't, I recommend looking it up. Check out the Georgia Guidestones. But, you know, the Georgia Guidestones lays out a plan to depopulate the earth. You know, every 14 out of 15 people will die, right? And for me, I think that that is a tad unreasonable. I think that that would be a cataclysmic event, and I don't think that that is actually going to happen. Now, the reason why I referenced the Deagle forecast is because I think that this Deagle forecast is far more reasonable than the Georgia Guidestones. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at it and you try and decipher what's going on in our current events, if you look at the top countries that are going to be enduring a large loss of population, so just so that the listeners know, the Deagle 2025 forecast is a forecast of loss of life, what the populations are going to look like on a country-by-country basis by 2025. Right. So that's 3 years from now. And if you look at the top countries that are losing people, you're looking at countries like the United Kingdom, Ireland, the United States, Puerto Rico, Germany, Luxembourg, Israel, Libya, Iceland, France, Spain, Australia, Switzerland, Denmark, Belgium, Austria, Ukraine, Italy. So a lot of these countries that I'm naming off, you know, these are all Western countries. We're talking countries involved in the UN, countries involved with the United States and as an ally. And what's really crazy, you know, when I look a little bit deeper onto this, this is a data set, by the way, and it shows you essentially, this is the categories. It shows you population in 2017, population in 2025, and then it shows you the overall population change. It shows you the GDP in 2017, the GDP in 2025, the change in the GDP, and some other metrics. But essentially, you know, if we look at the United States of America, it's forecasting that there's going to be a 68.5% decrease in population, right? You look at the United Kingdom, there's a 77.1% decrease in population. And then if you dig deep on this graph and you go look for countries like Russia, or you look for China, China only suffers a loss of population of 1.6%. And Russia actually gains in population. Countries like, you know, a lot of communist countries, they don't lose anybody. They gain in population. A lot of the population growth that we actually see is in Africa. So I think that this is a very interesting chart, because it really outlines, it makes a lot of sense of what is going on in our world right now and what I believe is being planned. Because if you look at it also from an economic perspective, right, one of the things that is happening right now is the depreciation of the U.S. dollar as a world currency. And why would they want to do that? It's because the United States dollar will not be used as the primary means of exchange on the planet. It will be something else. And it is because the entire communist system is working to dethrone the United States of America. Right? This has been a plan. This has been a long game plan that has been in works for a long, long time. And I always talk about Yuri Bezmenov, and this is exactly what is going on right now. And it can be a little concerning, but if it is concerning, I hope that it wakes people up, because we can still do something about this. We can still, you know, wake up and realize that there is something at work here that is going to change the world forever and how we live in this world forever. And, you know, looking at this Deagle report, it just is very, 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 very interesting. And I think it's way more viable than the Georgia Guidestones, because I personally believe that bringing down the entire world's population to only 500 million, I think that's crazy. There would have to be an absolutely cataclysmic event that would completely offset the birth and the death rates. Because if, there's also a aggregate number here for the total world population change. And according to the Deagle forecast in 2025, there will be a total world population change of 4.9%, which means that the total population on the planet will only decrease by 4.9%, which is way more feasible than saying that everyone is going to die off. 14 out of 15 people will die. Because if you look at the countries that are being affected here, they are all U.S. country, U.S. ally countries, NATO countries, Western countries. So it, I think it is pretty concerning to see something like this forecast. But I think it's very viable and actually very true, and kind of a wake up call for a lot of people that, you know, we are being targeted. We have been an enemy to these people for a very long time. And I think that Donald Trump was heading in a good direction, but this plan has been going on for a long time. And I think that, you know, something people need to start waking up and standing up and realizing that although we love this country, although I love this country, a lot of the leaders of this country have had very sadistic and evil tendencies around the world that have caused this situation to be the way that it is right now. And if we do not elect leaders that see that and understand that and are willing to negotiate with those powers around the world and take accountability for the things that we have done in self-interest, then I believe that there is no saving this country. But if right. if we do want to save this country, we're going to have to put people with the voices and the ability to realize that we have not always been the good guys. That we have actually been some really bad people and have done some very terrible things, and we cannot say that we are 100% innocent, and we cannot clothe ourselves in white clothing completely to say that we are 100% innocent and that we have done nothing to deserve what we are doing right now. And right. You know what? Alex Jones said it, and I 100% agree with it when he says this. We have killed millions of babies in this country through abortion.
Yes.
We have killed millions of babies in this country through abortion. And if you're telling me that we do not deserve what's coming, then you're wrong.
Oh, and that's where, you know, I have a history, as you know, with Alex Jones that goes back 26 years. But, and there's some things that I'm adamantly disagree with him on, but on that, I totally agree with him on that. And there's too many people here that sit there and they watch TV or they listen to radio and they sit behind their keyboards as keyboard warriors, and they're really good at dishing out, you know, advice and whatever. But how many of them are willing to put the foot to the metal and do what you've been doing and doing what I've been doing? I mean, you and I literally will get on the road and we'll go and interview people and we'll talk to people. We'll get down in the trenches with them. We don't just sit there and get in chat rooms and everything and throw all of our opinions around. And one of the things that was very concerning, and I think Alex understands that now, is that, you know, all this bashing of different ethnic backgrounds, you know, putting all the blame on the Jews, putting all the blame on the Muslims, putting all the blame on the Catholics, you know, This is insane. This is not a way to heal wounds or try that. You know, I think mostly when people start attacking people of other cultures or religions or backgrounds or even their skin color, it's because they're afraid and they don't want to take the time to get to know those people. They're afraid. And so what do you do when you're afraid? You just start attacking.
Absolutely. And, you know, for any person that claims to believe in God, I think that when you start pointing a finger and start throwing names and start accusing people of things, it's not very, you know, godly of you. And I've noticed that there's so much hypocrisy in so much religion that it's very detestable. You know, we should be handling these situations with us being accountable for the things that we have done personally, for the things that our country has done, and yes, realize that it is not always the other people that are in the wrong, but it is also us that are in the wrong, that we yes have done and committed so many bad things.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to accept that and realize that, and we need to heal that. We need to realize that we need to forgive ourselves. And then we can forgive the world and we can start to love each other and realize that
clean our own backyard before we go into other people's backyard.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're over here saying, oh, well, you know, we need to go help the Ukrainians and we need to go do this. I think that what we need to do is we need to focus and fix ourselves first. We cannot claim to be the world police and we have to do everything for everyone else when every single time that we do that, we forget about our own people. We forget about our own country.
Our own country, what?
Our own country is in shambles right now. You know, yes, you look at the amount of poverty, you look at all the homeless people, you look at all these people that are suffering from depression, people that are committing suicide, people that have no idea what faith is, they have no idea who God is. You have all these children that are being forced to do things that are messing with their minds permanently. We have a lot of problems here at home. And right now, what they're trying to do is take our focus away from our own problems, and they're trying to put it on something else on the other side of the planet that, you know, as difficult and hard as it may be, we have a lot of problems to fix here first. And right, we have to get ourselves right.
They're trying to distract us.
Exactly. And we have to get ourselves right so then we can go and outreach to the rest of the world and handle our problems not with aggression, but with strategy, with peace and love in our heart, because that is how we're going to change the world. Dealing with an aggressor like Putin, dealing with how Joe Biden and the United Nations are dealing with the situation is not the way that it should be dealt with.
No.
You know, when you're trying to tame a tiger, you know that the tiger can kill you, and there's a very certain way to handle the tiger. But the way that it's being handled with right now, it's not working. Obviously.
Here's a thing where they were talking about escalation reclaiming.
Wartime recently in Ukraine, and I think that this is actually a continuation, an escalation of Putin's determination to reclaim the former Soviet Empire, to make sure that the United States does not lead the world, that NATO does not surround him. I think that's his desire. But I think Condi Rice is also right in that something else has changed in him. Perhaps it's the isolation at his dacha because of COVID. His entire family had COVID. He hasn't admitted that he had it. But there's definitely something off. And at least one friend of mine who watches Russia closely said that his face is puffy. That could be a sign of antidepressants or antipsychotics. But he has definitely miscalculated if, and it's a big if, the Ukrainians can hang on. So far, the result of what he's done has been the exact opposite of what he's wanted to happen. So he's got to be furious. I know earlier today, Admiral Stavridis said perhaps there was a, quote, Julius Caesar solution. That is, maybe someone in his immediate entourage would kill him. But we've had Biden is now the fifth American president who has stared into Putin's eyes and has come out with various impressions. Putin was, according to Joe Biden, someone who had no soul. I think we ought to stop looking at his eyes and just permanently close them.
Yeah, you know, Putin supposedly answered when the president said that to him as a senator or vice president, and said that we understand each other.
So you have someone who is more than cold and calculating, but maybe off his rocker. How does... Is there a
well, that's
way
for any,
I know. I mean, is there any way anyone in his inner circle, whether it's the Chinese, top aides, to say, listen, you got to stop this. You have to pull this back. Or is he such an isolated strongman that his determination, whether he's sane or not, will just keep this going?
We're going to see, Eric, in the next few days which way he's going to go. I was very struck by his offer to meet with Zelensky because it seems to me that in addition to doing everything we can to support the Ukrainians, and I'm very glad to see that the Germans have finally come on board, but in addition to doing that, we also have to start thinking about giving him a diplomatic off-ramp if, in fact, the Ukrainians can hold on.
Now, this here, for a positive, her name is Bethany. She's had a reality show, Sammy, and mm-hmm. she's got an organization called Be Strong.
Response to the Russian president escalating his nuclear forces. Let's bring in Sunday Morning Futures anchor Maria Bartiromo on this breaking news. Maria, I think the technical terms that we've heard so far is he's put his nuclear forces on alert. Katie McFarland was just on with Pete Hegseth.
Oh, see, that's not the one we find here.
So Maggie, you know, going to the first clip that you played, I think that the exact same. So I have a big problem with people using what Joe Biden says, because everything that he said that she quoted as him saying about Vladimir Putin, I believe can be said right back at Joe Biden. He is a demonic despot that has no soul. So really what that makes me think is that I have to take that with a grain of salt, because if Joe Biden is saying that about Vladimir Putin, then I think that he has some sort of motive for doing so, because if we know anything right now, it is that our so-called president is a demonic despot that is in the pocket of the cabal. He is not even there. He's a puppet, right? So to me, I take that with a massive grain of salt, because I am not giving Joe Biden any sort of credit. I don't care what people say, and I don't care if people start saying, like, you know, something that I might see coming to the front now is like, we need to unite behind our president to support our country and support our president. No. You know,
I agree.
I love my country and I love this place and I love our people, but I am not going to support a demonic despot that is a complete buffoon on the highest seat of the land that happens to have the nuclear football.
Well, you know what? One of the things that somebody brought up, Sammy, is the fact that, you know, his State of the Union address is going to be crazy tomorrow. I mean, I wonder if he's even going to get past a second sentence without blundering all over himself. And, you know, he's definitely going to have to be reading the prompter, where Trump doesn't even look at the prompter. Trump gets up and speaks from his heart. But here's Putin, you know, going over the border of Ukraine, and Biden is so concerned about that only because of all the financial interest he and his son had in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about that. He only cares about his pocketbook. He should be more concerned, as Lady Horse said in the chat room, he should be more concerned about the borders here in the United States and what they're doing over our borders. As Ladybug said, I'm truly more concerned with the USA borders than the Ukrainian borders. So here we see the truckers descending, and we need to talk about that in the last few minutes. They're coming from all over our country, heading to Washington, D.C., to be there during his so-called State of the Union address. He has been spending the past 3 weeks putting barriers, concrete barriers, up around the White House, literally on the White House lawn, and then putting up additional fencing around that. I mean, he's more concerned about spending millions of dollars surrounding the White House than he is about the invasion on our southern borders. This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And, you know, the thing is that I think that people need to kind of take a deep breath real quick, realize, you know, okay, here's what I'll say. A lot of people keep saying, making it seem like, oh my God, why would Joe Biden do that? That's retarded. That's stupid. Who would do that? And it's giving him too much credit, because here's the thing. It's not that he's stupid. It's not that he's retarded. It is that he is a puppet
following a narrative and fulfilling a plan. This is all planned. Stop giving him credit as though he loves his country, as though he cares about what happens to you or your family members. Stop making it seem that way, because he doesn't. He wants to see this country crumble. He is a puppet for the cabal. He is a puppet for foreign interests. He does not give a crap about what anyone does for this country that is good. He is trying to destroy this country. He is not a legitimate president. He is a complete puppet, and he has no, we should not be giving him any right of way, any sort of benefit of any doubt. And that's the thing, is that like it tomorrow, I believe that tomorrow is a big day. I think that tomorrow's State of the Union is a big day.
Minutes. We're doing a radio show.
But you know,
Sammy, go ahead.
Yep. So I believe that it is a big day tomorrow, giving all the specifications of what the significance of tomorrow is. You know, the first ever State of the Union given on March 1st on a Tuesday, which is known as a day for the God of War. You know, I think it's very concerning and it's very interesting, and we're going to see what happens. And I just got to say, you know, put your seatbelts on, because something big has to happen, and we need to stop giving this man so much credit. And so I'm going to say this on the airwaves, but to tell you the truth, if people want to know what I think should happen, what I think should happen is that I think there truly, truly needs to be a coup. I think that reasonable people from our military, reasonable people from throughout the country that are veterans, need to take a real cold, hard look and realize that this bumbling idiot continues to steer our country into a hole. We are being driven into a trench. And the further that we go, the harder it's going to get back. So what do I think needs to happen? I think that our military needs to take a real good look at what is going on in the world and realize maybe this guy who has all the control and power over the big guns should not have control over the big guns, because he is senile. A senile old man that is being controlled by demonic forces should not have control of the nuclear football, nor should he be in command of our biggest military in the entire planet. That just doesn't sound right to me. You know, yeah. if my senile grandpa was grabbing a gun and just waving it around, like if he's a big boss, I'd be like, "Grandpa, you need to give me the gun and you need to go to the nursing home where they're going to take care of you, because you can no longer handle these weapons." That's the way that I see it. You know,
I agree.
And if we continue to give this man control, then he's just going to lead us into our demise.
I agree. The thing is, you know, we've been waiting for people like the white hats and the good portion of our military to do something. And they're telling us just take a wait and see. And now I'm beginning to really question the whole QAnon, which I believe now is a military psyops against the American people. And it's sort of like, you know, just keeping us distracted. The COVID was to lock us down so they could steal the election. Now that the COVID is, you know, supposedly dissipating, they're planning to put out maybe more variants. And that's what people are concerned about, is they know that the domestic enemies are right here in the United States. The domestic enemies are Bill Gates and Fauci and George Soros and others that are trying to keep us distracted. And now this thing with Ukraine and Russia is one way to keep us distracted from the fall of Canada. Let's talk about the next 2-3 minutes about the truck convoy that's heading to Washington, D.C. Some of them broke up around Salt Lake City, I understand. Many of them came through New Mexico. My friend Steve Garrett was going to run for governor of New Mexico. Now he's going to run for mayor of his town. And he was there the other day when the truckers came under the freeway overpass. And he's telling me that there's still many of them are heading to Washington, D.C., but other truckers from other states of the union are going to all to come together, and they're going to join them, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you say about this in the next 2-3 minutes?
You know, I think that the trucker protest is wonderful. I think it's doing its job in exposing how far these evil people are willing to go to impose. You know, like if we look at the trucker protest in Canada – I think it showed how much of a despot Justin Trudeau is, who I've recently have actually found some solidified evidence that this guy is actually the son of Fidel Castro. Kind of crazy. I never would have thought that was real, but, you know, the evidence speaks for itself.
What was that? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah, I do now.
Yeah, I was saying that.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I was saying that Justin Trudeau is the son of Fidel Castro. He is the bastard son of Fidel Castro, and that is I was thinking that it was impossible. I doubted that, and then I looked into it, found a lot of research, and it is the truth. But anyways, you know, if you look at the trucker protests in Canada, it showed the lengths that these tyrants are willing to go. You know, I was watching videos of them smashing windshields, of them arresting and batoning people. That is crazy. That's a police state. That is exactly what it is. Canada is no longer free, and people are afraid. And, you know, although I believe that they had high hopes for that convoy, I don't believe that it was enough. You know, I personally believe that at this point, it's really showing that, you know, when you live in a tyrannical form of government, they will crush you. They will crush you. And they don't care about your freedom. They don't care about your liberty. They will crush you. You know, liberty and freedom are an idea. And if you're unwilling to take the power away from the people that have it, then they're going to use it against you. And, you know, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. I think it's going to be a very different dynamic, because we in the United States are very different from our Canadian partners. Although we may be very similar, we are very different in our cultures. So as far as that, you know, I just want to, you know, any truckers out there that you're heading out there, God bless you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Continue to do it. And I support you. But I just hope and pray that we do not get a similar outcome like we've had in Canada. Because I think that will really show, well, you know what? I think it would really show how evil this government and administration have become. And maybe that would be the next step to waking up and elevating more people to take action and actually do something. Because I personally believe that none of this is going to be resolved from a protest. No matter how big it is, I don't think it's going to completely resolve itself. And the only way that it will get resolved, if it's all these people that are doing all these evil things, I think that they have to be removed from power, and they can never, ever, ever serve in any seat of power ever again. And, you know, I'm not saying that anyone needs to die. I don't think that anyone needs to get hurt. I don't think anyone needs to die at all. I think that these people just need to be removed from office, publicly shamed, and never be allowed to participate in our big forms of society ever again, because they have openly and outwardly tried to destroy this country. And, you know, I think that would be a good solution. Just completely remove them from any facet of power, any sort of control.
Folks, that was Sammy Mendoza, my co-host, who's here on Mondays. And I hope you'll be able to join us on Wednesday, or help Bronco and myself Wednesday. Sammy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you, folks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests.